Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Josh Berger. Josh Berger has Josh Fox Bread. Tell me about the name Josh Fox, because I thought that was your last name.
Many people do. It's actually a story I created when I was in college long ago about a mythical, gigantic fox. And since I'm not a big storefront that was going to have a big placard that would tell you the story of the Josh Fox, nobody knows what it really means. But it sounds good, and it's the name of my bread company.
It does sound good. Now, you are a licensed cottage food operator, and you craft artisan-style bread. Where is your bread made?
In my house. Cottage food operation was actually pushed for by a bread baker in Southern California who had an outdoor wood-fired oven and said, why can't I sell it to other people legally? As you saw, Jerry Brown passed it. I don't know how many, it's probably been two or three years now.
It's been about 2 years, yeah.
And it allows people to make safer, you know, I'm doing the hand quote things that nobody can see, foods from home and sell to people as long as they're following the guidelines that a restaurant would or bakery would follow.
And you're making bread in a rocketing hot oven. That's going to kill anything of issue anyway, right? Seems like it's got to be one of the most safe items that you could make.
Yes. Most baked goods are, everything is cooked to a temperature where any bad pathogens would be killed. And the processes I follow are actually, since a lot of it's sourdough, the sourdough protects the dough from being taken over by bad bacteria anyway.
Right.
It is such a strong culture that it won't let the other terrible molds and such in. So.
And what was your path to becoming a baker? How did you end up in Humboldt County? And then how did you become a baker?
Well, my mother baked at home, so, and a cook. But my family always liked food. And we were the type of family that went to a restaurant. And back when they used to actually put good bread on the table before you ate, the ones that would have the waiter come time and time and time and time again, because the bread basket was gone the second it sat on the table at, you know, when the burgers went out to eat. So bread's always been a love of mine. I come from New York City where bread is great. So, and I learned how to bake on my own in college, baked for my housemates and stuff like that. And then first loaf of bread I made was something like a challah. And then I eventually went to pastry school, learned pastry, got into fancy pastry. But then when I moved here, bread was the direction that took me to where I am now. And now it's just all about bread.
Bread is great. So a lot of people were patiently waiting for, or not so patiently waiting for, the cottage food law to come into effect. Were you like a little guerrilla operation before then that you actually made some bread and sold it?
I worked for a couple of companies around here, and the second of which I was running, I got bored of their product. And the way this started was I asked those that I worked for, could I go home on my weekend and make X amount of bread to go to the farmer's market and trade with the farmers for fresh vegetables? And that stemmed into what I'm doing now over the course of a couple of years.
A barter system that worked.
Yeah, I used to go down there with so many loaves of bread and trade, and that's no longer allowed. I'm not allowed to do that anymore. But I made good friends. They were people that kickstarted whatever I've turned into today.
Okay. So. Now, how about baking the bread? I know the oven is kind of an important thing for bread bakers. Do you have a way of injecting steam? Do you find that important?
It's very important. You can make great bread without steam. 80%, I think Peter Reinhardt, who's a bread aficionado, I suppose, says that 80% of good bread comes before it goes into the oven. So fermentation, the grain, the mix, paying attention to all that stuff, you can make something tasty, and then the finish comes with the right oven, the right steaming and such. But that, you know, 80% of it can be done without the perfect oven, then you can make a really good loaf of bread with or without. But yes, I believe steam is a very big deal.
So how do you do that at home?
Well, when I first started baking, I was baking in the regular old Sears oven that I bought. Phoenix Ceramic got me stones cut just for my oven. And I put in one broiler tray, I put lava rocks underneath the bottom. And then on the other one, I had a pan that had rolled up towels that I soaked. 20 minutes before I'd load the oven, I'd put the soaked towels in there and they'd start steaming. And then right after I loaded all the bread, I poured, you know, two or three cups of water onto the really hot rocks and closed the door.
That just sounds scary.
It's scary, and you need to be careful in case my oven was obviously not, it was cheap enough where the front window was not real glass, so it never broke. But I've heard of people shattering the front of their oven doing this. So a lot of people like put a towel down while they're doing it. But anywho, I did that for well over a year in that oven, and I'd have to bake 4 loaves of bread and then wait an hour for it to be hot enough to bake 4 more loaves of bread, and I'd spend 8 hours to make 16 loaves of bread or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So then you decided to get a different type of oven.
Yes, that was challenging because they don't make any small commercial style ovens that would fit into a home, but I found something in between that it's a Belgian oven called a Rofco, and I bought it because I've seen professionals using it on Instagram and stuff like that. So there was a source that said this oven works good, and it actually works. It's not cheap, but it works quite well and makes really good bread and saves me a lot of time and allows me to do a lot more.
So let's talk about like whole wheat and white flours, because I just, as a home baker, you know, I don't make the quantities to really get good at putting a lot of whole wheat in. But are there some tricks to doing, to adding more whole wheat into your dough and getting it to get some rise to it?
Absolutely. Knowing what the difference is between white flour and whole wheat flour, knowing that the white flour is the inside of the kernel, in some cases, the very, very, depending on what mill you're buying your flour from. So buying good flour first will always help you, even if using white flour, and then knowing how old your wheat flour is, you know, it's the part that has all the fat and stuff like that, so it can go bad. Whole wheat flour, because of the bran and the germ, will take a whole lot more water than just white flour. It'll need a whole lot more water because it'll absorb more. And usually when people add whole wheat, they won't change anything else about the recipe. And then you end up with this dry dough that becomes heavy and is a brick. And you just need to learn how to work with wetter, more fully hydrated doughs.
That's what I've noticed with, like, when I use, the more whole wheat I use in my dough, the wetter it looks at the beginning, but I just go, just give it time. And then by the time the next day when I look at it, it's all, you know, all that whole grain wheat has absorbed the water and it's much more manageable.
Yes.
So, it's not near as wet.
But you want it to be.
Yeah, I know. I getting past that, and actually, because I do the whole Dutch oven thing, that it's so wet that I just want it to come off that kitchen towel and into the pan, and I'm worried it's going to stick, and I've had it stick before, and that's not pleasant.
Anyone that's baked has had that happen and continues to happen for years to come. But you can use a combination of rice flour and white flour, which will help it if it is a wet dough. Instead of just flouring whatever you're proofing on with just white flour, the rice flour will help it from...
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that.
So, I don't know, to teach you how to bake better bread over the radio would be just a... We can get together and make some bread sometime. It's no secret.
That sounds terrific. That sounds like a great idea. Now, how do people contact you if they're interested in getting bread?
Well, I just got a new stamp that goes on the bags that has my phone number, but I'm on Instagram as Josh Fox Bread. I'm on Facebook as Josh Fox Bread, and I post in the group of Humboldt Foodies all the time, because the way Facebook business pages work, it doesn't get to everyone that even likes your page all the time, which is weird, but it's
yeah,
true.
It's a whole art form.
But Humboldt Foodies, I post there so people can see what I'm doing. And then I'm just around town. You can find my bread. Cafe Phoenix is serving my bread. They're the only place right now that can change soon, but they're the only restaurant using my bread at the moment. And then it's pretty much find me, send me a text message. Or...
And as my friend said, don't dilly-dally. Because Josh Fox bread runs out fast.
It can.
Yeah.
I'm not making large quantities of bread. And I bake twice a week. Eventually, we're looking to get to 3 days a week.
Okay. So. Well, we're going to stop now so Jess and I can eat some cookies and some bread that you brought for us,
excellent,
which is very nice. And this is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Josh Berger from Josh Fox Bread. Thank you so much, Josh.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.